This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Natalie Beck joins us from the Community Foundation. We have all these great traditions. We have new traditions, which is what I like. You just created a new one with a lot of help from Trades and Labor and the Decatur Area Convention and Visitors Bureau and all the folks who made a new home for Santa Claus.
Exactly. And I just took four of my grandchildren to Vest, continuing that
How
tradition
was the
too.
Show?
It was wonderful.
We turned there with his new wife because they'd never, you know, they're new to the community. And I'm so jealous of somebody who gets to experience it for the first time.
Yes. And I think it's just like Nick was saying, it's a tradition. We should be very proud that it's housed right here in Decatur. And, you know, my grandparents range in age from 10, 11 twins and nine, and they loved it.
Yeah.
So they sang along, and I want them to continue that tradition and enjoy it.
Isn't it great?
Mm-hmm.
I love Vespers. And once again, there are things that you get to see, and you see it over and over and over again, but you never have that first experience where you kind of go, whoa.
And they come up from behind. We sat in the balcony, which was perfect. They loved it that they came from around them and they were surrounded.
Yeah, very good stuff. Vespers this past weekend, great stuff. I can't wait to get some feedback from our intern, Brian, to see how he enjoyed it. All kinds of great holiday traditions.
There are, but I was just commenting to you. I think I can't wait for the snow. And what a great studio this is going to be. You're going to be in your own snow
globe. Is this because of your dog?
I have two dogs that are huskies.
Yeah, they're snow dogs.
Yeah, I just love it. I love the snow. I love the seasons, and I can't wait by next forecast.
I look outside. You know, we haven't had the experience you have on a higher floor. Does it have a snow globe effect?
It's beautiful. It is a snow globe, and it's peaceful, and it just comes over the city, and it's very calming, and I love it.
Yeah, I think I could go to the metaverse for one out. You know, or that would be like my peaceful, you know, just immerse yourself in it and then come right back to reality.
Right back.
What's going on in this last of the year for the Community Foundation? Imagines that just because of tax laws and end of year giving and all of the complexities that come with that, that you're probably having a lot of conversations with people.
We are having a lot of conversations, a lot of things coming up, and also people just, they get called and they get moved to give at this time of year, which we love. It is a season of giving. And so, yes, we are very busy. We have very odd hours in that we work, you know, all day on New Year's Eve because that at midnight is the deadline.
Sure.
So we are closed December 27th, and then we are open pretty much nonstop until the end of the year. So,
all right. So people can still have conversations with you.
Yes, exactly. And they can reach us, and our donors know how to get a hold of us. And they also have the ability to go into our software and do their own giving, which is a great tool we have for them. So they also can meet the deadline just by logging in and giving right through that portal.
All right. So people that are savvy with that kind of thing can do it without the appointment or without having a face-to-face. That's great. How do you stay up with all of that? I know it's probably, I mean, you're a small shop. I mean, for the gigantic impact that you have, and it's got to be a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but we love it. And so just like you, I mean, we come to work excited every day, and we keep learning. We just completed a chartered advisor in philanthropy, Missy Batman, Chastity Casey, and myself, and so that we can serve our donors at an even higher level. We have great partners, all of the brokers in town and the tax advisors and the attorneys.
Sure.
They all work with us, and they're there to serve their clients.
That's one thing about a town this size.
It's great.
Is the relationships you have. And that's why I think you can get things done in a community this size versus, you know, Chicago. And not that great things don't happen there, but they don't have that sense of community, meaning there's a whole lot of people that don't know each other.
Exactly. And it is, I think it is the joy of being here in Central Illinois.
Yeah. All right. So any interesting Holland, anything fun that we can be jealous of?
I'm leaving for New York City. Does that sound fun?
It
does. I can't wait. I hope it snows there too.
I haven't been there forever. What are you doing there?
Everything. Okay. So yeah, I mean the typical. You're right, the Rockettes, and we're seeing Chris Spotty, who is a trumpet player, jazz. So
ice skating?
No, I'm not. I'm way too old to ice skate.
Come on now. What does that
those
mean?
Those days are past because I'm afraid I'll get hurt. And once that fear gets
you take
in
one
there,
of those walker.
Yeah. No.
I think I'd just like to go watch.
It is beautiful. Taking three of our granddaughters and our daughters, we took 2 years ago pre-COVID, and they all ice skated. So
yeah, Rockefeller Plaza is an interesting. I told you I'm watching the Hawkeye show on Disney Plus, and it's a Christmas. They didn't film it during Christmas, but they've made New York, you know, look like all of its Christmas glory and all the scenes, and so they're hitting all of that, and it is very nostalgic.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
I love going there. So. Around here, though, our team was out yesterday ringing bells. We're ringing bells.
I saw that.
Every Monday for Salvation Army at Farm and Fleet. So we were blessed to be inside a little windbreak because it was to be out ringing bells. So a lot of very generous people came by and visited with us, and that was a
tell me why that's thing. Just philosophy wise, because you know, literally you could legitimately go, look, we impact the community, we hand out all these dollars, we work with our donors. Why is it important for you as a leader to be physically out on the front lines, like when we just talked about how busy you are, it's end of the year, but yet you're out there supporting the Salvation Army?
I've been out in the community to understand what's happening. We have to support organizations. It's not always just money that they need. They need service hours. They need awareness. So for us, it's to be on the front line. We rotate of an hour so that everyone can experience it. And I think it's very important. It's the same reason we volunteer at Good Samaritan. We want people to be on the front and understand how impactful the donors' dollars are.
And when you look at social media, and Nick and I have spent a lot of time talking about the metaverse, and I've been reading some interesting end of the year on what to expect in 2022. Apple, I think, really believes that this new the line of glasses is going to replace your phone. I mean, I don't know that that will happen, but I think that's what they believe. How do you try to stay on top of all that and then dealing with demographics when it comes to donors? I mean, I haven't thought about it in sort of a giving world, but you've got to adjust too.
I mean, I think as we touched on earlier, the tools change every year. And so our donors are more savvy. They are tracking organizations and causes throughout the world now, right? So we're here to help them, and they are more educated than ever before. They can immediately see the impact of their. And so I think we try and stay up that way. And certainly we have partners like you that keep us educated and our
platform
expands.
Yeah, but I'm just, you know, at what point is like Bitcoin going to be, you know, a part of your world?
I think it's coming.
Yeah.
I do think it's coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Young Leaders in Action, we're down at the Art Farm on Saturday. Nick, I sent our check.
Is Nick involved in that?
Well, I told Brandon that we would. He's involved. We'll work at that out. I mean, there's enough to support. Anyway, though, they were down there working on behalf of CASA,
yes.
and really proud of those kids. I'd be proud of those kids as 40-year-olds.
Yes,
and what they accomplished.
You and I have talked about that before, and also many of their parents were there. So we weren't quite for sure because the parade was that day, and how many people would bring gifts and the timing of it all. So we had a lot of youth there from Young Leaders in Action who were transporting the gifts from the Art Farm to CASA, and it all went perfectly. So great thanks to everyone involved. Another impactful event that they've been involved in. And then they also had their meeting on Sunday. They're very geared up and coming next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to see. So impressed with their leadership and all that they've been able to accomplish in such a short period. And it truly being the first one I can remember. You know, there have been initiatives. This is the first one where the mission, the work, the leadership, I mean, it's all internally driven by them.
It is. And I think that's a blessing to them. And they really are. They're doing their own social media. They're doing us. They're setting the events. They get lots of requests, but truly they select what they want to do. And so it is their platform.
Yeah.
And they're learning as they go along.
I think that's fantastic. And I know that's maybe a nuance that if you haven't done a lot of volunteers, I mean, we've had initiatives in the past and we'll get the kids involved and then we'll tell them exactly what to do and where to go and how to be there. This self-governance of this group to me is the most impressive thing.
It is. And actually, we've also touched on this previously. They are leaders now.
Yeah.
So they really are here for our community. Why we do this as a foundation is we would like them to. We want this to be their home forever.
Or if they go somewhere else to be leaders and to give
yes.
back, and these are lifelong. Yeah. Do you remember, we're old enough to remember like when, you know, service learning or, you know, St. Teresa was doing it, you know, way before Millikan, certainly before public schools, it was sort of the outlier, where giving back was a part of the education. Now, thankfully, it seems to be built into every platform.
I think it is. And of course, I was a Girl Scout, so I was very driven to get all the badges. So,
what did you have?
I was maxed out, right? You know me.
No, what is that though? What's the max?
Oh, I filled two sashes, so yeah, I'm all into it. But
did you wear a double sash? Were you like
front and back?
Yeah.
And of course, yeah. Like I said, I still have it. So, but that's where I learned to serve.
What was the one you were most proud of?
I don't have to think about that. I don't know. Because I was really on a mission to get them all.
You're so. Like Nick. You got to cross.
Yeah, I'm a to-do list person. And yeah.
I get it.
I like the campfire one probably, and camping and learning to be outside.
I get it. You know, it was funny when Tanya Andrick shared a picture with me of her in her Girl Scout uniform, you know, and her first aid badge, which led her down
the
whole. You know, those moments seem sort of like movie-like. I mean, like that doesn't really happen in real life. And like, yeah.
It led me to a life of service.
Yeah.
And to know that we can impact people in volunteering.
That's very cool. All right. Well, listen, Merry Christmas. First, will I see you before the holidays? Or
That's up to you. I'm working. So
well, me too. I just, you said you were going to New York. I didn't know.
Oh, I'm not going during the one on a Thursday night, coming back Sunday.
You're going to do the red eye.
We're working, yeah.
I got it. All right. Well, then Tuesday, because I think there's a lot to celebrate in this community over the last year, and you're a big reason why a lot of that happens. And so we appreciate the partnership. We do have our, we've got to get to our, I mean, we've waited too long. I mean, I used to just do this like right off the bat and have a Christmas song every day, right? And in the world of Christmas music, in my opinion, you know, I am all old school, which means like probably 1965 and older, except for the one Run DMC song, which is the only one I allow into my universe, and that's 40 years old. We have a Sammy Davis Jr. song for you today, which just blew me away, and we'll do that. We'll have our gift of the day. I think we're going to give away. I think this is too much meat to give to one person.
I mean, what you should, you could carve off a prize, drop some off in this room.
No. What I'm saying is, I think we have three prizes here to winners on Facebook, because you got the holiday hero, right? You got the tailgater, and we have one of the Heinkel's bone and hams. Now, we'll do three separate winners on the Facebook post.
When it's time, I'll tell you about that ham, by the way.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. I'm 55 years old and grew up in Decatur. You think I don't know my way around a Heinkel's bone-in ham? I know about it.
There's a lot of hyperbole, but that ham is legitimately and literally the best ham that I've ever had in my entire life.
Well, why stop there? You can get the Holiday Hero, where you get the smoked bone-in ham, the Heinkel's bacon, the jalapeno and cheese wieners, the mid-Polish sausage, the hot Polish sausage, the andouille, the bologna, and what we like to call the spreadable meat. The Braunschweig.
That's your thing. I love the...
That's Matt's thing, too. Yeah, and my mom. We also gave those. They're great gifts. We gave them to all of our son-in-laws 1 year for Christmas.
Oh, they're perfect gifts.
And they're perfect.
Yeah. I mean,
keeps on giving, and we love that.
There's just no downside to it at all. Natalie, we'll see you next week, and thank you for all you do. Natalie Beck from the Community Foundation.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.